It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny Podcast. It has been a minute since we've been back here, and unfortunately some of that is we had some technical difficulties on our end, and then there was the 4th of July vacation and such, but I am back, and I am Scotty Johnny, Jonathan Barnett, host of this show, but with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John. What's going on?
Not a whole lot right now, but yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks, so it's good to get back to some kind of routine in our lives, and it's always good to talk to you again.
It is. It's been too long. It's the worst part of the year for me, and we were just talking during prep, man. Last time I was on the show, Ruiz Jr. won the heavyweight boxing championship. the little fat guy, boy.
we root for little fat guys.
Yes.
But anyhow, remember that you can always follow the show at Twitter at ScottyJohnny1. You can follow me personally at JBarn54. You can follow Aaron on Twitter, in fact. And where do they follow you, Aaron?
Boy, that's been a while, too. At Cheddar Talk, John. At Cheddar Talk. Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk.
Yes, perfect. And remember, you can look at our show. You can find us, of course, anywhere that you find podcasts. You can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. You can find us on iTunes, any of those places. Please sure to go to those places. Be sure to give us those 5-star reviews and to write a review for us so that other people can find us and make it easier for the Scotty Johnny Podcast to reach around the world. Not just to, of course, California and Ohio. California, our largest listening demographic, by the way, at this point, oddly enough. Probably a lot of transplants.
Do you suppose expatriate Wisconsinites or what?
I don't know.
That's what it's going to be, right?
I'm not sure.
I'm guessing it's not Chargers fans. I'm just going to put that out there.
We got a lot of people who listen in Boston, too, or Massachusetts somewhere, and I think a lot of them are Patriots fans just looking to troll. But I can't back that up.
I was going to say it's those Bruins fans just listening for that shameless
listening
Bruins
for me.
Plug. That you're
go Bruins.
Bound to have sooner or
later. you can also listen, find our show.
All they heard was that you said Bruins one time in the podcast, and they're going to listen. Yeah.
I do love my Bruins. But I also say that you can find us at ScottyJohnny.com. But we do have some stuff to get into, not perhaps as much stuff as we would love to have, but we do have news, and let's get right to it in our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
Aaron, all right, so the first thing we're going to talk about, we would love to talk Packers, but there isn't Packers news. And if we force it here, we're going to be like those idiots who are busy spending their money betting on Mitchell Trubisky to be the NFL MVP. Because he is the number one right now in terms of MVP gambling. Because people are bad with their money in America, and that is the most proof you will ever need of that fact.
I thought you were going to say if you're going to force it, you're going to end up like Andy Herman, our buddy Andy Herman, defending yourself for reviewing Preston for the 50th time and trying to defend that you said he might have looked like Reggie White on some play. Yeah.
Poor guy.
He's so big on content. He puts so much stuff out there and it's so good, but man, it's got to be hard for him to be. He is so far into the film right now that he can't move with all the reels wrapped around his hips. Like I can only imagine how hard his job has to be right now.
That's true. And he's putting out a ton of stuff, and he's got some really good stuff out there in terms of film and everything, too. So you know, go follow that. Follow what he's got. Training camp is going to be starting here in not too terribly long at this point. But we want to, at this point, focus on the teams that are playing. First and foremost, I guess the only real team that is playing right now, the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, you may not know this from how the Brewers are playing, but they do have 5 All-Stars. Which is, it ties the team record, I guess, at this point for most All-Stars on a Milwaukee Brewer team.
If it wasn't for those five players, we wouldn't be half a game out right now.
No, and you can't argue with any of them. They're not there cheaply. I mean, you've got Yelly, you know, Christian Yelich. If I'm shortening things up and it confuses you, I guess I don't know where you've been. Yaz, Moose, and Hader were all initially on the team. And then I guess the one thing is that Hader is not going now, that puts Woodruff on the team. So that gives them five. But basically it's because one of them fell off and one of them falls in.
Right.
Woodruff's having a great year. And this is, I'm going to throw this out there, this may be the only time he ever becomes an all-star.
Right.
Because it's going to be like an Aguilar. I'm going to be afraid it's going to be like an Aguilar-type thing. I guess the difference is I believe Woodruff is fairly a good deal younger than Aguilar, and didn't have to wait so long to have at least a good first half of a season.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, comparing this to one of my Wisconsin sports teams, but this is kind of like Teddy Bridgewater making the Pro Bowl.
That's hurtful. That hurtful.
Well, after seven quarterbacks pulled out of the Pro Bowl, you know, there's
then or there's how Trubisky Teddy. Got in last year when everyone else quit. And remember that even though all these quarterbacks pull out to such a point that they bring in just absolute, you know, middle of the tier NFL quarterbacks to be named as Pro Bowlers. Matthew Stafford has been to one Pro Bowl in his entire career. Everybody, he's overrated. He's overrated, and you know it. Anyhow,
our volume passer.
Yeah. Anyhow,
sorry. Back to baseball. Boy, we went back. We got back to the NFL quick.
It's because Twitter is just so full of these angry, crazy lists. There is some guy out there saying that. Baker Mayfield, apparently. He's got him listed as the second best quarterback in the NFL, and he's got Stafford is like the fifth best. And you're like, no, you need to go away. Just go. This is what Twitter is for, though, is just to anger everybody so you can get a lot of comments. But the ratio is way off on that dude. Anyhow, even with all these all-stars, including some pitching, we got one reliever. We've got an outfielder, a catcher, and an infielder, a starting pitcher, and the Brewers. In the month of June, in which we talked quite a while ago that this was a very hopeful month for the Brewers, they were playing a bunch of teams that were not doing well. You know, but the Brewers went 13-13 in the month of June, playing the Padres and playing the Giants and playing the Pirates and the Reds and the Marlins. And they got a split with the Astros. But man, it was just, this has been.
And they got that, they took that, they got taken to the shed by the Marlins in that one game. What was it, 16-0?
We just lost 12-2 against the Pirates. There's just, apparently at this point, the Brewers have a negative overall run differential and are a half game out of first. The only reason the Brewers are a half game out of the first is because everyone else continues to wet the bed just as badly as they are, figuratively speaking. The Pirates and the Reds are catching everybody. I mean, the Pirates just took it to the Cubs, and then they just took it to the Brewers this last week and just beat us up badly. Starting off with July now, we're 2-5 in July. We've been losing series against the Reds and the Pirates here. I mean, on the road in places still we should be winning. The Pirates have had a much better run recently. The Reds are starting to find some pitching here and there, and guys are starting to swing. I'll tell you the most frustrating thing about losing to the Reds in that was that Yasiel Puig was the basically the hero of two different games. He got to score on that ridiculous play where we just couldn't figure a way to throw the ball back into the infield, get it in somebody's hands so he doesn't just run all the way around the bases. And then he has the big day where he gets a home run and drives in three, I believe, and they beat us there. I don't like Yasiel Puig because of his comments during their run last year, and he's annoying, but he beat him. He definitely beat the Brewers this last week.
He does have that potential, you know. And I know he's been all-star, I think, a couple years ago, but I mean, he's been mostly underwhelming in his career, but he does have that talent level to do that kind of stuff. So
yeah, his home run to fights ratio is not exactly what you wanted, but it's something. He's definitely just as willing to punch you in the face as to hit the ball. Yeah. But, I mean, you can't take it away from him. The Reds took it to the Brewers, and he was the big reason why. In that series, he stepped up there. He definitely has a, he does sometimes have that knack for the flair for the moment. And he doesn't like, he doesn't seem to like the Brewers, especially going back to that series last year in the playoffs. And he had a very good series for the most part, at least down the last couple games. I mean, the Brewers played him very well, but he had a couple good plays down the end and then talked a lot, even though I guess mostly it was other people saving him. But yeah, that was rough. It's been rough watching the Brewers. It's that they cannot. Last year, it was like the exact opposite. Something, something, something would all go wrong, but they would get that thing right at the last minute. They're like, wow, we're not hitting. But you know what? The pitching is incredible. And the pitching would save you in that moment. In this point, it's going just the opposite way. You're like, well, a couple of things are going kind of okay. Like, we have hitters. We have pitching. Davies and Woodruff both doing very well. We have a couple different guys there who can pitch. We don't have new starters 3, 4, and 5 lined up in any way. No. I don't feel any confidence anyone else are throwing out there in 3, 4, and 5 at this point. But 1 and 2 should be able to get you there. And if you can kind of go 1 and 2 in the other games, and you or get a 2-1 split somehow in those other games, you're still going to be doing very well. But they need to figure out what they're doing, at least in a 3 spot and some of these other places. And it's
Well, Heller brought up today, too, that, I mean, if Ulys comes back from his injury and pitches 3/4 of what he can do, he'll be a serviceable number 3.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I guess we didn't expect Ulys Chaussin to come back exactly like he looked last year. He had a great year last year. But, yeah, if he can come back 3 behind Woodruff and Davies, that would be nice. It would definitely save us a ton of time and the headache. It's been frustrating because it's like I was saying, one part of the game is going to fail miserably to the point that it will ruin the other things that are going okay. I mean, like, we'll have a game where we're hitting, we'll get 5 runs, but we'll give up 15. Instead of having that one thing that's going to pull you over other struggles, we're having that one thing that will completely destroy the things you're doing well. And, yeah, it's frustrating.
Well, to speak to that run differential that you're talking about, first of all, the Central is crazy. So, I mean, all 5 teams are separated by 4.5 games. Cincinnati's at 41-46, and the Cubs are at 47-43. And then the run differential on these guys is crazy. The Cubs are plus 55. The Brewers are minus 17. St. Louis, who's at 500, is at plus 2. So they're about as right down the middle as you can get. Then Pittsburgh, minus 36 on the run differential, even though they're only a game below 500. And then Cincinnati is plus 27. So, and then I just did some quick math. And basically, so the game that they lost to Cincinnati 16-0, had they just lost that one 1-0, which would gain them 15 points. And then if the one that they just lost 12-2, they would have lost 3-2. That would have been 9 more points, which would have 9 more runs, which would have been 24 runs, which would put them at plus 7. But they got blown out huge in 2 games. So that kind of skews that run differential too. So basically, none of them are really tearing the world apart per se. But I mean, neither is – I mean, if you look at the other divisions too, I mean, the NL East, Washington, Philadelphia, New York Mets are all around about the same amount – rate of same record, same run differential. And out west, Arizona, San Diego, Colorado, and San Francisco, they're all between 40 and 47 wins. So the only team that's really bad in the National League is Miami, who's at 33 wins. And, of course, the Dodgers are up at 66 and Atlanta's at 54. So, I mean, 12 of the 15 teams in the National League are between 40 and 47 wins. Yeah, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. That means that's how close it is. And so I guess it doesn't surprise me, you know, that, you know, it's, you know, San Diego Padres, you know, that trip out west, you know, they're all about the same. And I think it's because everyone's kind of jumping onto the, if you can't be the Yankees or you can't be Boston, you have to go with the Kansas City Royals model. You know, or the Houston Astros model, blow it all up and then come back with a really good bullpen and just enough to score runs. And the Brewers proved last year how you can beat the big guys doing just that, you know, scoring just enough runs, get it to the 6th inning, and then just give it to the bullpen, you know, and hope to God, you know. So, Maybe that's it. Maybe between the Royals and the Astros and the Brewers, they crack the code. I don't know. So,
Well, what the Brewers are definitely hoping for at this point is a couple of these young bats to come up and at least give some help. With Shaw going down and Nelson going down, we've been able to bring up Keston Hira, which of course didn't immediately save the team as everyone hoped it would. I mean, he's played all right. He's hitting the ball well. He's hit a couple liners right to outfielders. He's got a great bat, and he hasn't been playing that badly in the field, so it's good to see. And I like having him out there. I guess I just wasn't as flummoxed by the whole thing as everybody else was, but still.
I blame him for running into Arcia.
All right. Well, so I do. The injury to Arcia did bring up Mauricio Dubon. Dubon, I guess, would be the correct Spanish pronunciation, or Dubon. I guess Dubon. I don't know if he's got an accent in there. I didn't see one written, so.
Dubon.
It's Mauricio Dubon.
Dubon.
Yeah, he is the first Honduran-born player in the major leagues, and I think he's 0-for-1 so far or something. He's in there just to help out and get that that middle infielder spot. Saladino came up as well. He was hitting very well in AAA, and so they brought him up, and he's been terrible. He's got one hit and several at-bats.
He's in his own head. The talent's there. He's just in his own head. That's the problem. You could kind of tell the Brewers were with some of these moves, too. You wondered to the extent of how bad Arcia was hurt. And then you kind of get this feeling that the Brewers were maybe shutting down some people before the All-Star break to give them a little extra time off because – I mean, they've been really leaning hard on a lot of the starters all season long because, you know, it's just razor thin line of how far they are behind the Cubs thus far. So I wouldn't doubt if Arcia is just fine. And I apologize to Hira for blaming him for his injury.
Okay. Well, that's good of you. Now, he's inside his head. Would you rather he was outside his mind? Just to sound like your drill sergeant, basically. Mm. You must be outside your mind. Sorry.
I guess I'd rather he's inside his head. Yes.
That's good. I guess it's nice to see some of these young guys. What I don't want, and you're free to disagree with me, obviously. I've never forced you to agree with my opinions. But what I don't want to see at this point is I don't want to see the Brewers panic, and I don't want to see them reach to win this year. I think they've got a lot of good things going here. I think they've got a lot of good young talent and a couple people who are going to be under contract for a couple years down the road. I don't want to see the Brewers trying to trade away young talent in a win-now mentality because I think that that would – and first off, I don't think David Stearns, sober or drunk David Stearns, is going to be the sort to panic on this. I think he has a long-term plan, and I think we've been ahead of his plan, but I think he's got a better plan for this than to say we need to go all in again immediately. I think he's also got some capital built up in the fact that we went to an NLCS last year. I don't think he needs to do this. What are your thoughts on that and your take?
I'm kind of there with you on that one, too. And last year's run was – everybody forgets this because everyone forgets things so fast now. But everybody, September timeframe when they were making that push and things were starting to look good, everybody's like, this is amazing because this is already 2 years ahead of schedule. Like, this team's not supposed to be this good yet. Like, holy smokes, how good can they be down the road? And, you know, and after a big season like that, there's always a lull. And, you know, and I was hearing some garbage today about one of the pitchers that was pitching for the T-Rats, the Rattlers, to start the year, just got promoted to Carolina. And this is good because you want him pitching good because then he'll be worth more to trade for someone like Madison Baumgartner. I'm like, you know, the Brewers haven't had a homegrown pitcher. I don't even know if Gallardo was homegrown. I don't know if he came up through our system or if we got him as somebody else was bringing him up. I don't know. And Gallardo was good, but he was no world burner. I mean, the last really good pitcher we had was Ben Sheets. I mean, He was the only one in the last decade, you know, as far as starting pitchers. So it's like, just to your point, though, like, why are we getting excited that this guy's doing good in the minors just to trade him away, you know, for a rental that we're not going to have next year? So I'm kind of with you, and the Brewers didn't make any real stupid moves last year down the stretch. Who did they get down the stretch last year?
Well, Moose.
They did. That's right, Moose. They got Moose, who they got back this year, amazingly enough, mm-hmm. on a one-year deal. But, yeah, I think I want to say they got some relief pitchers too.
I think so.
But I mean, you can do that kind of stuff. I mean, absolutely, you gotta do that kind of stuff. But like trading away your three best prospects to the Giants for Madison Baumgartner for I don't know what his contract situation is because I don't like facts and I don't looking things up. I'm completely opinion based.
And you didn't know I was going to ask this.
But if
question.
He's a rental, what's that?
And you didn't know I was going to ask this question either.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, but yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you, I guess, even though you are right. But I don't need you. I like how you said, I don't expect you to agree with me, John. I don't agree with you rather that much, really.
I don't require you to agree with me. Yeah.
Yes.
Giovanni Gallardo was a Brewers draft pick, second round of the 2004 Major League Draft out of Trimble Technical High School in Fort Worth, Texas.
My Lord.
My favorite.
I mean,
still.
I guess you could say that's a win then. Gallardo was a good pitcher, but I mean, he wasn't a world burner. He would have been a number two on a good team, but
yeah, he's no Teddy Higuera.
No.
I love Teddy Higuera. I still have the starting lineup for Teddy Higuera.
Who's the best pitcher in Brewers history?
Probably Raleigh. Raleigh Fingers.
I mean starter wise. Because I mean, we've had quite a few good relievers. That there's no doubt about that. I mean, Dan Plesac was a machine.
Yeah.
For years.
Nieves has the only no hitter, right? Juan Nieves.
Juan Nieves has the only no hitter, but that's the only thing he did.
Ted Higuera was the last 20 game winner. Bosio was very good, but he had more of his better years with the Mariners, probably at the end there.
Right. He had just a couple good years. Cal Eldred was good for a couple of years, right around the same time Bosio was.
Right when
Pat
Listache was coming out and everything too. Yeah.
That was those early '90s teams.
Where
but,
he felt good about the team.
I mean, the 82 team, I can't really think Moose Haas, you know, Pete Vukovich.
Yeah, Vukovich. You know. Yeah.
I mean, the Brewers have never really had a good pitcher. I mean, Ben Sheets is probably the best pitcher they ever had, and he got derailed way too early with injuries.
Yeah, the injuries were just terrible. And
he was electric when he was on. I mean, he was right there with Kerry Wood. I mean, those guys were.
Gold medal winner.
Yep, last ones.
Yep. And anyhow, so that's all we've got for the Brewers is just kind of, I guess, looking ahead, I don't know what to expect from them. Hopefully they come out of this All-Star break and we can find a way to get some things put together here. They just got to figure out ways to win here, and they've got to go out and beat the division. They got to go beat the division. So that's how they're
I can't believe we squeezed almost a half an hour out of a team that's three games above 500 during the All-Star break. Good job, John.
Half game out of first somehow. But yeah, I mean, I guess if at this point, Aaron, I don't think the Brewers make the playoffs. Do you? I'll be happy to be wrong.
It depends. I mean, it depends upon what the rest.
Oh,
of the
make
season.
A hot call.
They're not gonna overtake the Braves.
Oh, don't be a coward.
They're not gonna overtake the Dodgers. But I mean, until someone actually puts together a good streak in the Central, they could win the Central.
Well, yeah, make your call now, though. What do you think is going to happen? What's the most likely outcome?
Okay, so does the 4-5 game playoff count as the playoffs or not?
I count it.
Okay, then yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think one of the five best teams in the National League.
Okay.
Only because everybody else is so bad.
Fair enough. We do have little bits of Bucks news here in the last little bit. We had the Bucks, of course, going out, and we've re-signed the most important of the free agents that the Bucks had. The way that Aaron Flodden has addressed trading Brogdon and signing Middleton on Twitter was, of course, "I'm okay with it." I believe that's your quote. First off, I think that signing Middleton was the key. They had to do that. Letting Brogdon go is the way that they make sure they have the money to re-sign and give a max deal to Giannis because they have to, and because there's no way you can try to cut corners on paying him. He's been great for your team. He loves your city. He is an icon in the city, you've got a fairly new ownership group there who is trying to rebuild the brand in a new stadium with new jerseys. They have the first team in the NBA to have an alternate floor, and they're trying to rebrand the whole thing. They're putting the state of Wisconsin into many more logos because, like we've talked about, this is a Milwaukee brand and not necessarily so much a Wisconsin brand like the other sports teams around Wisconsin are. Because the Brewers
what are the other basketball teams that are actually going to, like, push back? I mean, nobody along the Minnesota border is going to go, oh, the Wolves are so much better. And right now, none of the Bulls fans are like, hey, the Bulls are – I mean, it's they may as well strike now while the iron's hot. Like, you may as well try and get the whole state.
Yeah. Well, the big thing isn't that, like, the rest of the state is fans of other teams. It's that the rest of the state is watching some other –
Doesn't realize there's an NBA team in.
They're watching the NHL.
They're watching the Badgers. They're watching
Badger basketball, Badger hockey, even the NHL. I mean, they're watching other things because the rest of the state is different in many ways, especially north as you get further and further north. I think this was the way they had to go. I'm sad to see Brogdon go. And I guess I can't remember, Aaron. Have they kept? Did they made sure they kept Hill?
Boy, put me on the spot with that one. I don't know. I was going to comment on Brogdon.
You give me your stuff on Brogdon. I'm going to double check on that one. We did get Lopez too.
My take with Brogdon was that Brogdon was a good player. Then he got hurt, and then when he became unhurt and played in the playoffs, he kind of caught lightning in a bottle. But then the other teams figured him out, and he kind of stunk up the joint as the playoffs concluded. Now, fairness and Bucks playing like crap the entire team kind of stunk it up down the stretch in the playoffs, except for Hill, amazingly enough, and some would argue Lopez. But so I'm kind of okay with it. And the other thing is that the other thing that has been brought up by numerous people was, let's take for instance, the East is reloading. The Nets are now going to be a formidable team. We're going to see more of Kevin Durant. That's going to be in the playoffs now.
Not next year.
Yeah, right?
Probably not next year. He tore his Achilles. He's probably gone all year.
I'm just saying, well, Kevin Durant's a good enough player to get somebody to the playoffs. Like, at least is the 8 seed.
I'm saying he probably doesn't play a game this year. He's probably taking a full year with that injury.
That's right. Oh, because of his Achilles. That's right.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Not that he can't get him there. If the two of them are there, I think they're valuable, but I don't think he's playing this year.
I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Obviously I've been out of it for the last month. But so, no, the other thing is that Philadelphia drafted a 6'9 wing out of college who is not a good offensive player. They drafted him just for defense. Now, why would Philadelphia draft a 6'9 forward just for defense? For Giannis. Because Toronto kind of cracked the code with him. Like, you just throw everything into the middle and make them go outside. And so I think the onus on letting Brogdon go and keeping Lopez around was very smart, because Lopez can still he's no Giannis, don't get me wrong, but he's still a big dude that can command some, if used properly, he could take away some of that from Giannis. So it opens it up for Giannis, especially in the regular season. So, and I think Lopez had a much bigger impact than any other secondary or tertiary player on the team. Now, Middleton was very good, don't get me wrong, but, I really think that Lopez did a lot for this team. He kind of changed everything, because you know what Giannis was going to do. You knew what Middleton was going to do. You didn't expect Splash Mountain to start hucking threes. I think that caught everybody by surprise. And then just his presence down low. I mean, people don't realize he did this for years with the Nets too. Like, he's a good player. He did it with the Blazers too. He's a good player, and he's a great complementary player to Giannis. So I think he can let Brogdon walk, honest to God. So that's my take.
I'm still trying to figure out George Hill. It looks like basically because of the contract he had, he was going to be due $18 million. The Bucks planned on waiving him, but then they're looking to re-sign him. It looks like the most likely outcome is they're going to sign him to probably a three-year, $29 million contract. But there's some other teams looking at him, at least. One of them is the Knicks, and if you sign with the Knicks,
you're dumb.
You'd better enjoy that money
you're
a lot.
You're dumb.
I mean, because then you're just playing for money.
I mean, and think from George Hill's standpoint, was George Hill going to be 34 this year or something like that? I mean, is there a better situation for you, honestly, anywhere?
And it's a good team. You're going to get a chance to shine, and you're going to get a chance to win. People are going to know your name. You're going to play with a superstar.
You're not getting the New York or L.A. Boston bright lights, but I mean, as far as being a 34-year-old point guard, you know, and not only that, a team that appreciates you. I think fans and teammates and ownership alike appreciated how good he was in the playoffs because he had been there. I mean, there were times that he looked like he was the best player on the floor during last year's playoffs, and that's not a lie. I mean, he really looked like he was completely in control, and that's because of the experience, man. I mean, it's true with anything in life. The more experience you get, the more comfortable you are and the better you are in pressure situations. It's just that way, and I think – I hope he's back, and I hope that it's I just hope he's back. There we go. Stop here. Stop talking.
And here's the thing, too, is like I think the idea that everybody wants to play for the Knicks ignores what the NBA is now, which is it's a teamless league, because fans in the NBA don't root for teams anymore. They root for players. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think it's crazy because that's not how I grew up, and that's not the way that I approach things mentally, but that is what the NBA is. I mean, there are LeBron fans, and they don't care where he signs. There are LeBron fans. There are people who are Paul George fans, or, you know, wherever he goes, they're going to, like, Kawhi fans and stuff like that. Like, and it's a very different world. Like, people watch the game for individual players. It doesn't matter where they go. I mean,
think about it. It's different. Kawhi Leonard just hit the turnstile in Toronto, and now he's in L.A., but with the Clippers, with Paul George. And in the meantime, out east, Flat Earther from Boston.
Kyrie. Kyrie, Eleison Irving.
And Durant, eschew, you know, say no thank you to the Knicks and go play for Brooklyn, the Nets. They're going to play for the Nets.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sure, big market still, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. And I mean,
yeah, you are no less well known. You can't tell me people don't know who Giannis Antetokounmpo is. Everybody knows who he is. Why? Because the NBA is a teamless league. It's about individual players at this point, and that's what they advertise.
Well, and that's all because of LeBron. I mean, he made Cleveland relevant. I mean. Yeah. He really did. I mean, there was that. What was that? YouTube
it sounds
video.
Sadder than what you meant it to sound like, but yeah.
What was that video about? Come visit Cleveland. It's a joke. One on YouTube, and our economy is based. 2/3 of our economy is based on LeBron James. You know, it's like yeah. I mean, he did. He brought that. I mean. And it was just what you said. It was all about LeBron because there were LeBron fans, and it didn't matter whether he was playing Miami or Cleveland. People cheered for him. You know, that's how it was. So, and LA is a dumpster fire. They're apparently going to put LeBron at point guard now.
It should.
The Knicks are a dumpster fire. I don't think Boston's going to be any good now that Kawhi left.
But they got Kemba. Horford works worse, I think. Horford's worse for losing on that team than Kyrie. I want to call him Kyrie because that's what it is, which means Lord. But Kyrie leaving, and they bring in Kemba. I mean, I think Kemba's great, and I think he's going to fit Stephen's system better than what Kyrie was doing. I think they're going to be okay. I think they're hurt more by Horford leaving. And here's the thing, is like Horford, he goes to the Sixers, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Sixers then lose Jimmy Butler, who's going to go play with Dwayne Wade. Some Marquette, you know, action going on down that way, I guess. Or is Dwayne Wade completely retired? I guess I can't remember. He's basically calling people down to Miami at this point, though, trying to get them down to play for Miami. but still.
Thank you for reminding me. And that was another point I was going to say. Besides Philadelphia getting that kid in the draft, they got an Al Horford along with Joel Embiid. Who do you think that they're going up against?
Well, it's the only two teams left in the East at this point, because the Nets are going to be a year away, because I don't think they're there yet, because KD doesn't play this year. With that injury, he is not coming back this season. You will see him next year. And that's fine. That was the gamble they took, and that's okay. You're not going to see him this year. The Nets aren't going to be there. The Knicks aren't there. The Hawks, these other teams who were nobody got that much better on that side. And you're going to say Miami got a little bit better. Philadelphia's kind of the same. Like, they lost talented players and brought in a couple, you know, Horford and lost Butler. And the Bucks basically kept the core of their team. And Toronto just fell apart for the most part. They got a bunch of young guys without the guy who was making them relevant. There's no straw to stir that drink anymore. There's just the drink. And so it's going to be Philadelphia and the Bucks next year, unless something massively changes in the coming weeks. I think it's Philadelphia and the Bucks for the East. And what the Bucks should do, if they're smart, is do like what Toronto did, which is slow play the game, slow play the system, and prepare for just the playoffs, because you're getting to the playoffs. And you're going to get there as a 1, 2, or 3 seed, and prepare for that. And make sure you spend your season getting ready to play that playoff series rather than just the season.
Heck, you could do it. The last time the Cavaliers won the championship, I think they were the 4th seed, right?
Yeah. Well,
they really slow burned it into the playoffs. Like
Toronto this last year, Toronto the year before was the 1 seed, right? And then lost to Cleveland. But this year, they held back. They were the 2. And then they were better, but they were better set up this year. And they had a better idea of what they needed to do by the end of the season. And I think that they just had a better plan. They had a better plan for that team. And I think the Bucks need to grow and learn from that. They had a first-year coach. Of course, so did Toronto. But still, they're growing into that. And I think Giannis, the other thing is Giannis is going to get better this year, because he's been getting better every year, and he's still very young for an NBA player. He's going to be getting better this year, and the Bucks will get better next year. But I want them to have a good plan and get ready for what that season is going to look like, what needs to happen there.
Right.
All right. Anything else you want to add on the Bucks before we start trying to wrap some of this up?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome. All right, so that's what we have for the main event issues that we wanted to talk about for this week. So the next thing we're going to do is just wrap up a couple smaller Wisconsin-level type stories in what we call The Tale.
Now it's time for The Tale, covering Wisconsin's other sporting news.
Okay, Aaron, so in The Tale, one of the first things that comes up is Rose LaValle. And if you don't know who Rose LaValle is, she scored the first goal in the Women's World Cup final, and she is a Wisconsin Badger. And so we had a Badger graduate and a Badger soccer player going out there and helping keep America number one in women's soccer. And it's fabulous to see that. It's wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful to see the team do so well, setting records for most goals scored and all that. And it was wonderful to see a Badger play a, you know, maybe not the most significant role. She wasn't one of the top three names, you know, on that team, but it was great to see a Badger out there doing something big like that, and good for her. Congratulations to Rose and to the rest of the women on the team, of course.
Hey, are you on board with this whole thing that they should just blow up the men's soccer team and just give all the money from USA Soccer to the women's soccer team because they're so dominant and the men's team so bad?
I was going to talk about that a little later, but we can talk about it now. Yes. if we're going to talk about things here – when we're talking about leagues where one league makes a certain amount of money and you split up the money, yeah, like the NBA just brings in way more money than WNBA. WNBA is still around because the NBA continues to actively promote and support it and financially fund it. There's a difference there in saying equal pay is required. You're like, yeah, I would like equal pay compared to what they make at Habish and David. Habish and Rotier. But it turns out they have way more experience. They have a lot more clients, and they're in a much bigger city. So they make way more money than I do. Mm-hmm. And you get to be okay with that because even though we do the same jobs, there's the difference in the market that you'd have to just deal with there. And it isn't because in those cases, it isn't because they're women, except for, I suppose, some people will specifically not watch women, which is ridiculous. Right. You should watch sports if you like sports. I don't watch the NBA much because I don't watch the NBA much. Right. I know a little bit about both. And I know that Minnesota is the closest team, and they're very good, and I'd like to see the Lynx do very well, so good on them. But I think the one thing, though, is when you're representing a national team, you are the national team, you should get the same pay. And if it's going to be unfair in this case, it should be unfair in favor of the women's team because they're the only one who's any good. Because the men's team isn't any good.
They just broke the record for most consecutive World Cup finals wins, I think, right?
Yeah, they have four World Cups. Straight. Four World Cup championships.
Straight wins. They broke the record that Sweden held forever.
And the men's team has to celebrate when they're one of the top 16. So, yeah. No, if it's going to be unfair, it should be unfair in this case in paying the women. Because they're way better. They're way better than the men's team. And part of that is that our nation works on Title IX and all these other things. We've been actively supporting women's athletics, which we should, because I love when my girls are in sports, my little girls. I love seeing them. I don't mean like girls in general, my daughters, my girls in sports. I love seeing them do things because it's good for them. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, there are a lot of countries who are playing in the Men's World Cup who do not let women play sports, by the way.
Right.
A lot of teams who are fairly good who do not let women play sports. That is in part one of the reasons why our team gets to kill a lot of these other teams is we put money specifically into making sure that women get a very good shake at least being able to continue playing. While we don't put enough money into making sure they're paid for what they do, we do put a lot of money into making sure they have facilities and making sure they get the same number of scholarships and that they're allowed to play whenever they want. Whereas a lot of the countries that are actually good at soccer aren't particularly good at letting women do things. So that's
fair point. Fair point. And also another thing too is that the one thing that I know for a fact from having been a coach myself of high school sports and having been in high school sports and having cousins now that are playing high school sports is that like my cousin Jack, he's a forward for Eau Claire North and a pretty good young player. He uses soccer as a warm up. For hockey, to build up his endurance and his cardiovascular, he's one of the best soccer players they have. But he doesn't care. He uses it strictly to get ready for hockey. He has, if you're to give him a choice of, hey, we're going to give you a D1 scholarship to go play soccer somewhere, or we're going to let you walk on here to try and play hockey, he'll try and walk on to play hockey. Because that's the pecking order of sports. I mean, why on earth would anyone want to be an NFL player? You're going to spend most of your life getting hurt for a chance to maybe make it to a league where you're going to get paid way less than a basketball player or a baseball player, but it's because it's the pecking order of sports. You want to go play in the NFL.
Yeah, I would rather play football because I loved playing football more than I loved playing any other sport. And
I'd rather be a guard on the practice squad of the Jacksonville Jaguars then go play for Kansas City United, I guess, as a starter.
That's true. More people still know your name than too.
Not that a lot of guards play soccer, but
that would be amazing. I'd watch more of it then.
I was spitballing.
If there were 300-pound midfielders, I'd watch a lot more, I think.
With 4.240 speed, oh my god, that'd be great. Yeah. I'd say
one of the other things I want to talk about here too is that there were a couple Badgers. Maybe it didn't get a lot of play, but in the FIVB, which is indoor volleyball, the international championship for volleyball, Team USA took gold. And Lauren Carlini and Dana Retke, both Badgers, but from the Badger women's volleyball team, both on that team, helping them to get gold. We talked about beforehand, Aaron, the Big Ten is the king or queen or emperor, empress, or whatever you want to say, of volleyball. Nebraska,
You may as well say Nordic goddesses of volleyball, right? Because that's what it is. It's all the tall Scandinavians that live in the upper Midwest.
Nordic goddess is probably the most accurate way of defining it. It is.
Valkyries? I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. Nebraska, Penn State, Wisconsin recently, Minnesota recently, all been great. Even Illinois had a pretty decent year this year, too. The Big Ten, they are the rulers of volleyball in this realm, and they did great. And Team USA gets gold there as well. One of the things I love to point out whenever anybody asks me what I thought of the World Cup, or they try to talk down to me about the World Cup, I like to assume they're talking about the World Cup of Alpine Skiing, because basically every championship has a World Cup. Every sport has a World Cup. There's a World Cup of soccer. I Googled yesterday World Cup winners, and Google gave me a list of the World Cup winners of World Cup cricket. So good on you, Google, and everybody who says World Cup. I'm going to continue assuming you mean any of the other sports that have a World Cup.
Cup.
Because the difference is Alpine Skiing's World Cup is a cup and not just a trophy. The World Cup in soccer is not a cup.
However, it unlike the World Series, it is actually the whole world.
Well, it's made up of players from around the world for the World Series, at least. So for there, we do have...
Well, Japan, Central America, the Caribbean, and the United States. But, you know, hey, who's counting?
Yes.
Taiwan.
Chinese Taipei, however you want to call it.
Sure.
The other little bit I want to give you here, most recent commit to the Badger football program is Duncan McKinley. And we're very, very excited for Duncan McKinley. What does he do, you ask? He is a long snapper.
Yes.
And we all love long snappers. I encourage my son every day to learn how to snap a football between his legs, because it's illegal for them to hit you. And all you do is throw a ball between your legs. It's great. If you can do it well, you know, there's room for you on a roster somewhere. And if you can get a scholarship for being in a position in football where people aren't allowed to hit you, go do it. All right.
Go crazy.
That's all we've got for the tail. We're going to wrap everything up here with our last points here on our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, you kind of started stealing my thunder right away with your little bit on the last call with our equal pay point. But the other things I want to talk to is saw a bit on this. Somebody put up is Julie DeCaro, who is actually a Cubs fan, but she's a very good Twitter follow, and I enjoy her. And she takes way more crap than she should because she is a woman sports reporter. But she's very good for being a Cubs fan. She mentioned an MLB skills competition. And I love that idea, but I don't know that I agree with everything she has. She wanted a hardest pitch, like fastest pitch is one thing. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, the NHL skills competition is great. The slam dunk competition used to be great. The three-point shooting competition is what it is, whatever. The NHL skills competition was amazing. The fastest skater, the hardest slap shot, the most accurate shot. If anybody wants to go back and watch, Ray Bourque twice won the most accurate shot from the blue line, hit four straight plates that are in the corners of the goal. He did it in four pucks twice. It's amazing. Wow. He's one of the best shooters ever.
Who was the defenseman for Toronto that had that monster slap shot? I can't think of his name.
I'll think of it later, unfortunately. I want to see is a pitch accuracy. I want to see something like that. Put up a little screen, four plates that can break when you hit them. I want to see how many pitches, you know, you get... you know, 20 seconds, how many pitches does it take you to hit all four plates or something like that? You know, it's like, I want to see that. I want to see the hardest pitch. I want to see this. This is one I know nobody brought up. I want to see a competition for catchers throwing to second. And I want to have like a plate or just a glove held there or something hit the mark, you know, like throw a pitch, get up and throw. Can you hit just, you know, like the perfect catcher throw, the one that lands right in the glove in the tag. I want to see him doing
one,
that.
One hop into the glove. No, you're right. Right into the glove.
Yeah. Right into the glove, right into the tag. I want to see things like that. That would be amazing. Because the home run, among all the skills competitions in all sports, the home run derby is the best. It is straight up the best. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's really any fighting that. But the NHL competition is the second best because they have so many other things they would do. I want to see baseball do something like that because they could do it. And it would be so much more interesting. Historically, even though the MLB All-Star Game is kind of not what it used to be, it is historically the most interesting All-Star Game because it happens in the middle of the season.
When nothing else is going on, by the way.
Right, but everyone else happens at the end of the year when everybody is already done caring and they already know who the champion is and people don't go. It's the best one to watch because of the place it is and the place it holds in sports kind of history for the rest of us. But that's
right.
That's about it. What do you have to add? I got a couple other ones, but I want to kind of back and forth with you here. What do you have for this week?
Well, I got we forgot to bring this up during the Buck's portion, and I can't ignore this. Splash Mountain's brother, Robin Lopez, will be playing for the Bucks next year too. So they will have both Brooke and Robin Lopez on the team.
Man, the memes are going to be crazy.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I love Robin Lopez. He's the dirty version of Splash Mountain. Anyways, let's hear. So on the Fox reporter, what's her name? Let me get my phone up here. Kelsey Wingert, at Kels Wingert, posted up, and it's caught a little bit of fire, is that in Cleveland they were showing the All-Star banners for tomorrow's game, and prominently displayed for both the Phillies and a number of other ones are Bryce Harper. Dead smack in the middle, you know, when they do the flying V formation where you got the one player in the front and then two to his side and then two further back. Yeah, prominently displayed everywhere. Bryce Harper at the All-Star game. You know, I don't know how much the banners cost to be made. I know.
Why is this a problem for you, Aaron?
Because he's not in the All-Star game.
What?
What? No kidding. Wow.
I am shocked.
I had no idea. I couldn't be happier that Bryce Harper's stupid face is all over that town, because I think it's even better. I think it's better. It just kind of adds to it, because that guy's career is going down the toilet and fast, and I'm happy for him. So
that brings up one of my favorite Futurama quotes. Is he like, interesting? No, wait, the other thing, tedious.
Yes.
And that's what it is with Bryce Harper. Yes. Speaking of viral things that have gone on, one thing I want to point out has gone viral around Twitter is Cubs fans at their very best playing against other Chicago sports teams. It is the Cubs-White Sox series, and there is a video of – there's one or two White Sox fans in there, but it appears to be one, if not two, full sections of Cubs fans in a gigantic Donnybrook, which is just a ridiculous thing to watch. There's people jumping over chairs to attack other people.
It's great. It is just trash. I mean, it is just terrible. Oh, my God. Like, thank you, Cubs fans. Thank you for just proving us right. Just proving it right.
I've seen fights in other stadiums. You have to have seen other fights in other stadiums. Obviously, nobody got stabbed as far as I've heard. So that's a plus for them. That puts them maybe above Oakland Raiders fans. But I have not seen one as large as this. It is like an entire section, as I said, fighting each other.
And it's mostly chicks.
Yes, and it's almost just Cubs fans fighting each other. It is not like a group of Cubs fans fighting White Sox fans. It appears to be a couple White Sox fans with Cubs fans fighting each other around them. And it is a ridiculous thing, and that needs to be just plastered everywhere. Like, if this had happened at Lambeau Field, they would immediately name every single person in there, and they would say, your tickets are gone forever, just forever. Right. We're never letting you in this place. They would take away all their season tickets, and if they had bought season tickets from someone else, that person would be banned because of giving their tickets to these morons.
Right.
So the problem is that a lot of other sports, anywhere other than Green Bay, if you take their season tickets away, they'll just buy them again next year. You can't do that in Green Bay. You go to the end of the wait list and you get them when you're 112.
Right.
But it's different here, obviously. But yeah, something needs to happen to these people, because it's a ridiculous look for the Cubs. And if you want to be a professional sports team, you have to be loudly against these people.
John, you're talking about a sports organization in the Chicago Cubs that actively employs two domestic abusers on their team and does not apologize for it, and openly has made openly hateful comments towards women. So, I mean, what do you expect?
Well, and the one comeback they always have is they're like, well, Josh Hader's a terrible person. You're like, Josh Hader as a teenager did say terrible things. And the difference here, the only big difference here is he has acknowledged they're terrible.
And that's the same thing like with booing Ryan Braun, like, oh, he's a steroid taker. Yeah, and he missed most of a season because of it. So he paid his penalty. And last time I checked, he was doing HGH because he had wrist issues, which were well known. And did he lie? Yeah. Did he beat it on a technicality? Yeah. Did he still pay for it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know who else beat it on technicality?
For HGH. He didn't beat a woman.
Right. And you know who else beat technicalities is Richard Sherman, and nobody booed him for it. Nobody did. And the number of Cubs players who use steroids is just as high as anyone else. None of them booed Sammy Sosa. Here's the other thing that no one at all cares about. No one cares about the Summer League. I don't care who wins. I don't care how it's set up. Skip Bayless was furious.
Summer League of what?
Of the NBA.
That's a thing?
Skip Bayless was furious because it's so unfair that Zion Williamson has to play in a summer league where several of the players that the Lakers are going to be getting aren't on the roster yet, and he's going to be playing without the better players who are coming later against those great players on the Knicks who already played in the summer league last year. You're like, no one cares. You know who won the summer league last year? Your stunned silence is very reassuring. The Lakers won the league last year. The Lakers did, and Magic celebrated that championship. Magic Johnson celebrated that championship. Do you know what the Lakers were doing when the playoffs started? They were watching it from their couch just like I was doing. I'm joking. I didn't watch from my couch at all.
LeBron James wasn't in the finals for the first time in 8 years. Yeah,
right. Or the playoffs. It was, yeah.
Or the playoffs in general, yeah.
So everybody needs to just shut up about the Summer League. I don't care. Zion Williamson made one big play the other day. It went all over Twitter. By the way, the guy he stole the ball from had more points and more rebounds. Nobody pointed that out for the most part. That guy outplayed him all game, but Zion had one play, and that's all that mattered. The Summer League is dumb, and it's good for the teams. I don't care who wins. Aaron, anything else for this week?
I don't know. Sure.
That sounds good.
Let's end it on Summer League NBA, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, what was Skip Bayless? Oh, Skip Bayless got duped by our boy Barry McConaughey. James Harden's man boobs, and how he's made fun of by Chris Paul. He actually said that, on his show. He quoted Barry on his
Sports Talk Barry
Sports Talk show.
You can't do that. You just can't. You can't fall for that sort of nonsense. You cannot listen.
Right. I mean, okay, I understand what Skip is, but even Skip Bayless, at some point, you got to hold him accountable, level of, like, you have to know that is the biggest sports troll on Twitter.
He is.
Who has since been banned from Twitter.
He's been banned so many times, he will come back as a...
No, I don't think Barry's coming back this time.
All right. All right, we're going to wrap that up for this week. It's good to be back. We'll be back next week. Thank you again for joining us, whether you're listening to us on Stitcher or Spotify or Apple Music or Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever you're listening to us on. Thank you. Please go and review us. Give us the 5-star rating if you can. Give us a written review. We'd love to hear more from people. Check us out at ScottyJohnny.com. And again, you can follow me at JBarn54. Aaron at Cheddar Talk, and you can follow the show here at ScottyJohnny1 on Twitter. If you need to send us anything or if you have anything you want the show to know, write us at podcast@ScottyJohnny.com, and we'll try to make sure we include that in the show. And of course, remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
Sports Abyss, yeah!
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening.